Joining us on Code Chat, I'm your host Jeremy Foster, CodeFoster.com, and on Twitter at CodeFoster. Once again, we're coming to you live from, well, it's not live, but we're coming to you from OSCON, the open source conference in Portland, and we're recording a number of shows here so that you'll get used to the energy and the background behind us. But I'm here on Code Chat today with Greg Bulmash. Is that how I say your last
name? Bulmash, yeah.
Bulmash, all right. Well, thanks for joining us, Greg.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeremy.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I got my speech out of the way, and I'm just sort of, you know, feeling a little relieved and just enjoying the vibe.
What was your session on?
Actually, it was on starting a free coding club for kids.
Awesome. And can we talk about that a little bit today?
Yeah, that would be awesome to talk about.
Okay, what's it called?
It is called Coder Dojo. We actually are the Seattle chapter, Seattle Coder Dojo. The Coder Dojo movement, though, started in Ireland in 2011, started by a teenager who wanted to teach his friends to code and realized that it was a great sort of vibe to spread around the world. Got some people involved, and it is now has over 450 clubs worldwide.
Okay, so 2011 was 3 years ago, which is an eternity in the tech world.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while.
It's been around for three and change years.
And now this is an effort that's pointed entirely at kids?
Yeah, Coder Dojo is pointed at kids between, you know, sometimes some clubs allow as young as five. It's usually recommended about 8 to 18, and
okay.
You know, it's supposed to be a fun, relaxed, open environment for kids to learn coding.
Okay, so how does this work? Is it a weekly format? You all get together? Is there top-down training, or is it everybody kind of hacking, or what?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, every Coder Dojo is different.
Okay.
There are some Coder Dojos where they do more hardware. There's some Coder Dojos where they do more software. Some meet once a month. Some meet once a week. The Seattle Coder Dojo, we meet every Saturday, 10 to noon. We have sort of three levels. We have the absolute beginner levels where we start the kids off on code.org,
okay,
which is a really gentle introduction.
Yeah.
It's all drag and drop, building block. Then if they're feeling like they want to get up to something where they have more control, more ability to experiment, we'll move them up to Scratch. And that's our most popular room.
Okay.
Scratch is it's an IDE built by the MIT Media Lab, and it's all drag and drop again, but it has a lot more functionality so the kids can really sort of get inventive. We've had kids like build Pac-Man in Flash, Scratch is in Flash. We've had them build Pac-Man, little mini movies, battle games. They have a lot of fun with it. And then our third room is our JavaScript and independent study room. And that's where the kids, if they're working on something in school or they've got a personal passion project, they can bring it in, get help from mentors. Or if they're sort of like unsure, but they're beyond Scratch,
right,
we'll get them started on JavaScript. And the reason we chose JavaScript is because JavaScript is everywhere.
Yeah.
Every browser, you can write Microsoft Windows apps with it. You can write just all mobile apps with it. They're just everywhere. You can write apps in JavaScript now.
Yeah. So the kids probably respond pretty well, huh, to the area of computer programming.
Oh yeah, they love it. It's one of the one of the paybacks of doing this is you just get to watch these kids light up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good ramp in too, right? You said that the first one is code.org, and so even the younger kids, the 8-year-olds that have never touched this stuff, mm-hmm, have an entry point.
Because they learn. Code.org has their K-8 computer science curriculum. They also have the Hour of Code curriculum. And for the kids who are just really like, I have no idea what I'm doing, there's a 20-minute Flappy Bird tutorial.
Okay.
And it's really, you know, like you will pull out a block that says flap wings, and it abstracts away all the stuff that you have to do to make the Flappy Bird flap its wings.
So pretty much anybody can do that one.
Yeah, and so it shows you in steps how, you know, a lot of it is just imperative. You know, tell it to do this, and then this, and then this, and if this is happening, do this, and then this. And so it sort of gives them an idea of this is what computer programming is about. It's really not as crazily complex as you think.
Yeah, right.
It'll get complex, but it's not complex to just get started.
One of the things that I've been impressed with in my development career is the fact that no matter what language I'm working in, there are those core concepts from computer science that remain the same. And I think that I can imagine that students feel like there's a certain technology that they need to learn, and they don't know which one to learn. And really, it doesn't matter so much which technology you're using.
Absolutely. I learned BASIC as a kid.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And I was a little BASIC hacker. I actually had a bulletin board system on my Commodore 64. And then I decided I was an artist. And I went off and did my degree in the arts. I got a degree in creative writing. I went and did a whole bunch of things. I was a stand-up comic. But when I got out of college and I was trying to promote my writing career, uh-huh, I got onto the web and I picked up HTML and I picked up a little JavaScript, and I was able to just, I was never afraid of just figuring something out, doing something. Even my first contract at Microsoft, I'd learned PHP and some front-end stuff, and there was a manager who liked one of my sites, and he needed somebody to write something similar, a database-driven site. Mm-hmm. He said, can you do it in .NET technologies? I said, I've never used .NET, but, a loop is a loop.
Yeah.
And a SQL statement is SQL statement is a SQL statement. If you gave me 2 weeks and a book, I could probably figure it out.
Sure.
And he said, okay, you've got 2 weeks and a book, and that was my first, that was my first contract at Microsoft, was building a web front-end to a tracking database in .NET, and I'd never used .NET before, but because I had the basic concepts, I was able to come in and complete the contract.
Do you think that kids come in initially intimidated by the world of programming? Do they feel like this is a very difficult thing?
I think their parents are more intimidated than they are.
Oh, wow.
Because, the great thing about the kids is they don't know that this is supposed to be hard. They don't know that this is supposed to be impossible. It's sort of like, the old Warner Brothers cartoon where Wile E. Coyote chases the Roadrunner off the cliff, and he's running on air until somebody sort of points out to him, there's nothing below you, and that's when he falls.
Yeah.
So the kids, they're just like running off the cliff, and they keep going because nobody's told them that they can't do this. So I think it's just a really great vibe because their parents are more afraid of tech than they are. Mm-hmm. They've grown up with tech. This mm-hmm. is second nature to them. Mm-hmm. And usually they have some motivation, anything from, I want to build Minecraft plugins to, hey, Ferb, I know what we're going to do today.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got your own kid. Is he writing software?
Yes and no. I mean, the reason I got into this was I was trying to get him into writing software and doing more, and I was having trouble, and I went out looking for other parents who were doing this and trying to share tips and tricks, and that's where I found out about Coder Dojo, and I thought, hey, this would be a great thing for him to do, the social thing. Mm-hmm. So he's gotten pretty into Scratch. He's also really gotten into Inkscape.
Oh, cool.
So he's been like designing his own Pokemon cards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to, say you have to make an app, you have mm-hmm. to step up.
Yeah.
Because I don't care if he gets a marketable skill out of this. I just want him to understand that computers are tools that he can use and that he has the ability to pick up the knowledge to make the tools he wants.
Do you think every kid should learn this stuff in school?
I think every kid should learn this stuff in school. I think every kid should learn this stuff for wherever they can.
Okay.
And, Microsoft is, promoting TEALS, which is sending people out into the high schools to teach. And Code.org has got this whole high school curriculum they've been promoting around the country. So what we're getting is we're getting a lot of the elementary school and middle school kids. If you look at, if we ask the parents what grade their child is in when they sign them up for a Saturday Coder Dojo, 60% of our kids are elementary school. Mm. 30% of our kids are middle school. 10% of our kids are high school.
Mm. Interesting. How involved are the parents?
It depends. Some parents will sit with their kids and work through the exercises with them and be their teacher. And, when they run into something that neither the parent or the kid can figure out, they'll raise their hand and get a volunteer over mm-hmm. to help them. Some parents, put their kids in the room and they go out and sit in the lobby and read and work on their iPad. So all we say is that the parent has to be there.
Okay.
We don't make the parent get involved, because some of the parents, either their kid is just so far ahead of them.
There's
no point. All they can do is sit there and go, yay, good on you. And then there are other parents, they're afraid of technology because they came up at a time where technology hit them in a little older. And we have this myth in our culture where if you don't get something sort of right away, you're not a that thing person. So we have this myth, like, I'm not a math person, I'm not a tech person. And it is a myth. Because there are some kids who just are naturally more inquisitive. And so it's not that they got the technology faster, it's just that they were more determined to figure it out. Or their parents were already, you know, exposing them to it and were able to help them more. So these kids come in and they're just like banging away at stuff. And another kid goes, well, I'm not as good as him, I must not be good. And it's really, you know, math, technology, science, these are all things that you can get good at if you put in the time and you have the interest. So it's not like I'm not a tech person, I'm not a math person. You got to sort of get them to understand I'm not a tech person or a math person yet. And so I think the parents have already sort of created these self-fulfilling prophecies. So a lot of, some of the parents, like, my kid loves this, I don't get it at all. But you could. While other parents are like, yeah, I love this, my kid loves this, and this is, we're connecting on this and doing this together.
That's fun. So the program is called Coder Dojo. You said that it goes on all around the world, right? So there are a lot of chapters. Your chapter is the Seattle chapter. And how many kids are coming out for these?
We've got, we get between 70 to 90 kids on a Saturday. We're actually,
That's a lot.
We're actually signing up 115, but when it's free, a certain amount just go, yeah, it's a free ticket. It's a beautiful day, I'm not coming.
The sun's out in Seattle.
So that's been the case this summer. So, like, for Saturday, we've got 115 kids already signed up. We're already in a waiting list. But another great thing is that, you know, you've got the two sides of the lake in Seattle. You got east side and west side. We're at Amazon on the west side. We've done a couple of things on the east side at Microsoft, and people just responded so huge. And they're like, it's such a pain to come across the lake. We're actually starting up a satellite at DigiPen on the east side.
Excellent.
We're piloting in August. We're going to start it up in full in September. And so we'll be running Coder Dojos on Saturdays at 10 a.m. at Amazon and DigiPen in, starting in September.
That's great.
And so we'll have room for like 200 kids, and I wouldn't be surprised if we fill it up.
Do you know of any other offerings in the area?
Not, well, in the area there are some for-profit offerings. I don't know of any groups that are like ours. But there was another group here, DevOx for Kids, and I went to their presentation and was like, oh, there's so much stuff I'm going to steal for our kids. Because they're the same way. They're open. They're sharing. They're, we're out of Ireland. They're out of Belgium. It's just really sort of, they've actually done some tutorials for the Coder Dojo down in Silicon Valley. So there are other groups like this. They may not be in Seattle, but they're all over and they're spreading. It's I wouldn't say it's like a virus or a cancer or a mold. I would say
it's viral though.
It's like Johnny, you know, it's like Johnny Appleseed. It really is. It's like Johnny Appleseed going across the country and planting apple
trees. Well, I can relate. I mean, I've got a 2.5 year old, and so he's not old enough to write an if loop yet, if statement yet. But as soon as he can, I sure want him to, because I just feel like a kid not only learns, I mean, like you said, it can be a very marketable skill. It can be a very technical skill. But besides that, I think that they learn a pattern of thinking and a way of interpreting between the real world and the computer world that's pretty invaluable. I think it helps us learn how to think.
Yeah, honestly, one of the things I like to say is that computer programming, one of the biggest skills in computer programming is taking large, hairy problems and breaking them down into smaller, solvable units. And so if a kid can learn that, that's going to help them wherever they go. And another thing is, I look at, you know, where is a kid going to use programming even if they're not a developer? Like, let's say a kid goes into physics. They're going to be writing simulations.
Absolutely.
A kid goes into medicine. A kid goes into law. You know, I have a distant cousin who's an IP lawyer, and he had to get a degree in engineering just so he could understand what he was litigating.
Well, and even if a person in their profession that's not a computer science profession, even if they're not writing the software, just the ability to know this is the type of problem that a computer should solve for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason, I went into the arts. The reason I got back into writing code was because I saw problems in my work that I was like, these are totally automatable.
Yeah.
And I can go to the management and say, can I get somebody to automate these for me? And they go, well, let's see, you're like here on the priority list. And so we'll get that automated for you next year. And I'm sitting here doing this tedious, like, drag and drop, cut and paste stuff that I just wanted to learn to make tools to make my life better. And so that's why I got back into coding like 17 years later.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. Well, this has been a good chat. I think this is a really cool program. I think it's a great program for the kids. And there's a lot of, there are probably a lot of developers in the audience that themselves have kids and would be interested in something like this. Now, if they don't live in the Seattle area, then they obviously won't be involved in your chapter, but they're going to probably be able to find a Coder Dojo in their own area.
Well, you can go to CoderDojo.com.
Okay.
Actually, at zen.coderdojo.com, they actually have an interactive map that shows you where Coder Dojos are, and you can find the Coder Dojo nearest to you. If they're in the Seattle area, seattlecoderdojo.com is our website.
Okay.
We also tweet at SEA Coder Dojo.
Okay.
And if they need to reach me directly, info@seattlecoderdojo.com.
Excellent. Cool. I'll put all those links on the screen for everybody. Anything else you want to add?
We could always use volunteers. We could always use, if you want to get involved with the Coder Dojo, just start bringing your kid. Find ways that you can get involved and help, because this is really a grassroots movement. It's all volunteer driven, and the more people who are helping out, teaching kids to code, even if you're not technical, there are all sorts of organizational marketing things that a Coder Dojo needs to survive.
Is it an official nonprofit?
No.
Okay.
But they're an official nonprofit in Ireland, but we don't derive nonprofit status from them.
I see.
We actually have a nonprofit in Seattle called Urban Sparks that can take donations to fund our projects.
Okay. Okay. That's excellent. All right. Well, thanks very much for chatting with us today, Greg.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy, and thank you all for watching.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on Code Chat. We'll see you next time.